This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Dr. Henry Miller, a physician. Henry is the Glenn Swager Distinguished Fellow at the American Council on Science and Health, writing about the animal kingdom and the reservoir of COVID-19 in animals around us. Henry, accompanying your piece is a photograph of a woman feeding what appears to be a doe, a white-tailed deer doe, which are numerous in the woods of New England and across America. Is that any way of risk what we're seeing, a hen feeding of a doe?
Well, that's a good question, John. This is all a matter of probabilities, as we've been discussing now for several years. The basic issue is that that the SARS-CoV-2 virus is very widespread in the white-tailed deer community in the U.S. and Canada. And there are more than 30 million of these animals in the U.S. alone. So they're harboring the virus, often being asymptomatic. And fortunately, to this point, there has not been any animal-to-human transmission. That's of course, one concern. The greater concern by far is that there will be animal-to-human transmission of a variant that's capable of human-to-human transmission. And that may well be what happened in Wuhan originally. And whether as you know, there's still debate about whether the virus originated in the lab, or we think more likely in the one of the markets where there was transmission from an animal to humans, and that virus was capable of human to human transmission, and that was the beginning of this this terrible fiasco that we've experienced, that's not at all uncommon. So we talk about that being spillover, the transmission of a pathogen from an animal to a human, we're concerned about that. So what do we do about that? Well, we do careful surveillance of newly spreading variants of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And we need to keep developing new treatments and have vaccine platforms ready. Again, that gets us back to the chassis that we spoke about earlier, so that we can put on the appropriate antigens, the appropriate equivalent of an autobody onto the chassis when and if a new very worrisome, very transmissible variant occurs through mutation.
So what I'm looking at is the potential of this being damaging to humans in the future. But as of yet, there's no documented case of that happening. Is that correct, Doctor?
Well, as we say in the article, the SARS-CoV-2 virus is known to have been transmitted from humans to mink, dogs, cats, bears, various zoo animals, and now deer. There hasn't been any or much transmission to humans, but it can happen, and it can certainly happen. It's all a matter of probabilities.
Yes.
It can happen if somebody who's severely immunocompromised feeds a deer or nuzzles it or brings it into the living room for an afternoon watching TV, or from some of these other animals. All a matter of probabilities. So we need to be ready. We need to do good surveillance and to be ready for more surges with more variants.
Finally, the real scary piece, something called long COVID. What is it, Doctor?
Well, it has various definitions, but basically it's the perseverance of symptoms of the acute COVID infection, or even the appearance of new symptoms after about 4 weeks from the initial infection. And the spectrum, John, is really almost terrifying, the spectrum of possible signs and symptoms. It ranges from neurological symptoms, some of which are trivial, like loss of taste and or smell, to brain fog, to very severe exertional fatigue, to GI disturbances, and to various cardiovascular problems, heart failure, heart inflammation, strokes, and so on. It's estimated that there are more than 1 million people suffering from long COVID at the current time. Some improve with time, some do not. Some have had long COVID now for 2 or 3 years. I recently read a case report of a woman whose major symptom of long COVID was something called agnosia, a neurological symptom that makes her unable to recognize simple objects or faces. And she first discovered this when she walked into a restaurant to meet her family and didn't recognize them. And this is terrifying, of course. So, you know, the best way to avoid long COVID is not to get COVID at all, which is why many of us are still being conservative, wearing masks in high-risk situations and so on. And certainly everyone who's eligible should be vaccinated fully, including boosters.
Dr. Henry Miller, physician, the Glenn Swager Distinguished Fellow at the American Council on Science and Health. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,